With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. After announcing plans to consolidate the USD Sanford School of Medicine to Sioux Falls, university officials say the response has been largely positive. 2 months into the process, USD offered an update on the program to the Board of Regents. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
The move saw some criticism, but many across the state viewed the decision to focus the first leg of medical school in Sioux Falls rather than Vermilion as a net positive for the state's med students and staff. USD President Sheila Gestring says it consolidates resources into a population center. So far, she says there's been few bumps in the road.
Energy, the excitement since the announcement from our alumni, from our donors, from our friends, has largely been what I would describe as electric, and maybe even more than Dr. Ridgway and I could have possibly even have anticipated.
She says the decision helps both the School of Medicine and the main campus in Vermilion.
50 years ago, the state of South Dakota was 50th. For physician-to-patient ratio with only 500 practicing MDs. Students were required to leave the state of South Dakota to obtain their MD degree. Leadership 50 years ago wanted to do better, and they added those 2 years to complete the MD degree in Sioux Falls. South Dakota is now 35th in the country for physician-to-patient ratio.
Gestring says there's now over 2,200 MDs across the state.
State-of-the-art medical education connects students with clinicians on day one. Moving the first 18 months from Vermilion to Sioux Falls will improve the student experience and eliminate commute requirements.
Sanford Health, the medical school's partner and largest hospital network in the state, is headquartered in Sioux Falls. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Sanford Health is planning to establish the region's first birthing and bereavement suite in the Sanford USD Medical Center in Sioux Falls. The Sanford Health Foundation announced plans for the service in recognition of Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. In a statement, VP of Sanford Health Foundation Aaron Sanderson says the suite will offer compassionate care when it matters most. More details are expected to be released in the coming months. The Birthing and Bereavement Suite is the first of several Sanford Health initiatives focused on women and children's health services around the state. Those include mobile ultrasound units to serve women in underserved areas, specialized mental health support for mothers, and a new pediatric emergency department in Sioux Falls. Provisional data from the South Dakota Department of Health shows the state's infant mortality rate has consistently exceeded the national average and remained fairly stagnant over the past decade. The latest data from the South Dakota Department of Health shows a 10% increase in suicide deaths between 2023 and 2024. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the state overall. It's the number one cause of death for people ages 20 to 39 years old. The 2025 Suicide Surveillance Report shows certain populations continue to be high risk. Based on nearly a decade of data, the suicide death rate for males is more than 3 times higher than for females. Native Americans die by suicide at a higher rate than their white counterparts in the state and at younger ages. 65% of Native American suicide deaths occur between the ages of 10 and 29 years old. The Department of Health notes suicides are caused by a complex network of multiple factors, and the goal of prevention is to reduce risk factors at the individual, community, and societal level. If you or someone you know needs help, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to call or text at 988. Hundreds of students in Sioux Falls had the opportunity to learn about STEM education and meet with South Dakota State University professors and students at the Washington Pavilion. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
Whether it's an SDSU-built engine revving, robotics clacking, or students laughing, the Washington Pavilion is full of proof that local middle and high schoolers are engaging with science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Sanjeev Kumar is the dean of the Jerome J. Lohr College of Engineering at SDSU. He says that's what today's about, education.
The Jerome J. Lohr College of Engineering at South Dakota State University is one of the best colleges of engineering in the nation right now. And a lot of people don't know about the great things, the great opportunities that our students have here. So a lot of people don't get the opportunity to come to the college to see what's going on and see our beautiful labs. But we thought, let's bring the college to where people are. In South Dakota, the largest city here, we really wanted to bring and showcase to these future generation of kids the what's available for them right here in their backyard.
The festivities are part of a South Dakota State University takeover of the pavilion. It gives the younger generation an opportunity to interact with engineering outside on Dakota Avenue and engage inside with arts and theater. Throughout the day, students are learning. So whether students are wearing ancient armor or toying with technological advancements, Kumar says one thing is clear. People are having fun.
That's what my day, actually, when I see them smile, they're having fun, interacting with our students, learning about engineering. That's what really matters. We're going to have over 600 students from middle school, high school students from the schools around here. They will be coming, and then it's open to public. We are expecting a lot of people come and see the College of Engineering, the kind of opportunities we provide to the people from South Dakota.
And he says that opportunity is on full display at SDSU Days. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls.
A Mitchell-based nonprofit is nearing its fundraising goal for a unique housing development that's the first of its kind in South Dakota. LifeQuest is a nonprofit dedicating to supporting adults with developmental disabilities. The Mitchell Republic reports the organization plans to build 6 micro-homes designed to allow people with developmental disabilities to live more independently. After receiving a $20,000 grant from the South Dakota Community Foundation for the project, LifeQuest has raised about $1.7 million of its nearly $2 million goal. Groundbreaking could take place as early as this fall, depending on the construction bidding process. Panelists at this weekend's Black Hills Film Festival say movies are both a collaborative art form and a communal experience. The festival celebrated the art form and featured creatives from across the state and country. SDPBC Jay Keen has more.
Rapid City's Journey Museum Theater featured panel discussions and film screenings all weekend. Community members brought their popcorn and questions for filmmakers. Filmmakers like Zeke Hansen, who says something collective is lost when we only interact with film at home.
There's a very visceral reality in immersive group. As an audience member, you get to, like, whether people are weeping next to you or laughing next to you, that's a shared experience. And in your own home or in a friend's house, you're more guarded. But in a dark room with a screen and popcorn and a Coke, you get to just appreciate the moment.
There are many jobs in the industry to cater to many skill sets. Film producer Ryan Hall says his job is to be a mover and shaker on set.
The secret, if you want to get into it, is find somebody who also wants to make a movie. And ultimately, production is just about making things happen. It's about moving a crew. It's about making sure that they're fed. It's about making sure that all the pieces are in place when they need to be in place and that the ship is on time.
South Dakota filmmaker Finn Kane is from Del Rapids. He says when working on a project, there are moments of pure inspiration that remind him of why he fell in love with the art form years ago.
I don't know. There are some moments where I'm screaming at the computer for sure, but there's also just a deep sadness when it clicks, when it all comes together like a puzzle, and then you watch it back and you're like, oh, I get it now. I think that's really exciting.
All three of these filmmakers agreed on one thing, though. For both documentary and narrative film, South Dakota is a widely untapped market for creators, and they hope to encourage more filmmaking in the state. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
In the world of tariffs, some retailers are growing frustrated at the volatility of tariff rates and other federal changes as they try to turn a profit for their businesses. As SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports, this includes retailers in downtown Sioux Falls.
The owner of Zanbro's Variety says as part of the gift-giving industry, the store is seeing negative impacts of higher costs due to import taxes or tariffs. Jeff Danz says tariffs are driving prices up.
And then you couple that with the increasing cost of shipping the last couple of years, and particularly this year. You start looking at an invoice for merchandise, and the tariffs and the freight are adding as much as 30 to 40% of the cost of that merchandise. And for a lot of merchandise, there's just not that much room to increase the price. And so what happens is the retailer, us, starts cutting our margins. And we can't do that forever.
He says he's told buyers not to purchase from overseas vendors that are increasing prices drastically.
We're trying to find alternative sources. And we're trying to buy more from American manufacturers and vendors.
Proponents say that's part of the goal of tariffs, strengthen the U.S. by bringing manufacturing and other industries back to American soil. Proponents say it might be a good thing companies are forced to look stateside for goods. Dans doesn't dispute there are some positives to working with U.S. vendors, but it's not perfect from his business's standpoint.
During COVID, we started to see a lot of young entrepreneurs designing and printing letterpress cards and making products by hand, craftsmanship. But it's not nearly on the level of what in the past we've been able to source from other countries.
Dans adds the constant changes have made it hard to project product costs or decide when to buy from vendors. He points specifically to the volatility of tariffs on Chinese products. He says Zanbro's Variety and other downtown Sioux Falls shops have had to stock up on toys to avoid potential prices spiking.
Sometimes that's difficult to do, to buy your holiday toy inventory in the spring or in the summer. And that's what most of us have been doing. And we've been fortunate that we have had the cash flow to accommodate that, but not everybody did.
He says now they're beginning to see the available toy inventory reflect increased tariff prices. He speculates what consumers might do around Christmas time if Chinese tariffs continue.
There may be a smaller selection of particular toys in the marketplace. That will be an interesting thing to see, but I think people can adapt to that, and maybe there'll be fewer toys for gifts. Maybe there'll be more books for kids, encouraging reading. I don't know, but that's one thing to watch, is what happens with the Christmas toy inventory.
Dans adds that one of the most frustrating things his store has encountered is what happens with packages from overseas when they do purchase internationally.
Purchased from a lot of small stationery lines, and some of them are in England and shipped from London, and they get stuck in customs. And what we're experiencing is that we have an order that's sitting in customs, and it's been there for 6 weeks because the vendor hasn't responded to answer the questions that customs has about where was it manufactured and that sort of thing. And they keep contacting us, and we tell them, we don't have that information. You have to talk to the vendor, and the vendor is not responding. So that product's sitting there.
He says package delays in customs isn't a new thing this year. He blames more recent challenges on an executive order President Trump signed earlier this summer that put an end to a decades-old customs exemption that made some international shipping easier. That exemption, called de minimis, was introduced in 1938 and granted some international packages, under a certain price threshold, an exemption from paying certain duties, fees, and other taxes like tariffs. That price threshold was $800 as of 2016. President Trump said he ended the provision because the lower security measure applied to de minimis packages allowed overseas shippers to bring fentanyl and other synthetic opioids into the U.S. He also called the provision a, quote, trade loophole. However, according to Dans, it caused some disruptions in the shipping process.
All of that ended, and literally hundreds of thousands of packages sat in customs, and had to be sorted out.
However, he says it's a good thing rates appear to be stable for the moment.
It's the unknown hopefully the unknown period of what to expect with tariffs and the impact on getting it out of customs is a lot clearer now because the vendors have a better idea. But for a while, the people in customs were in confusion.
But more change is coming. New tariffs are set to begin October 14th and are expected to have impacts on U.S. trade relations, leaving local business owners like Dans to adapt. Again, I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Local policymakers in the northeastern portion of the state are looking to strike a balance between economic development and the rights of property owners. The Brown County Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending the approval of new ordinances related to wind energy and data centers. Brown County Commissioner Mike Gage tells the Aberdeen Insider the wind ordinance will ensure there's money for cleanup if developers abandon smaller projects. It also requires wind farms be at least 2 miles from city limits. As for the data center ordinance, Gage says striking a balance between protecting landowners and encouraging economic development was tricky. The data center ordinance calls for a 1 mile setback from family dwellings, schools, and other sensitive properties unless the project owner gets a written waiver. Projects with a waiver still must submit noise mitigation plans if the data center is within a quarter mile of those properties. Drafts of the two ordinances are posted on the Brown County Planning and Zoning Commission website. County Commissioners will conduct a first reading of the ordinances on October 21st. I'm STPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out STPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.